Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is the Dale and Keith Show.
The Black Cat has taken the field. The Cat runs into the end zone. That is a touchdown.
So is it bad luck for the Giants? Is it bad luck for the Cowboys?
I don't know.
I'm not superstitious or anything.
I am a little stitious.
I hate cats too, so it's like...
Dale Arnold.
Shot scores! Torrey Crone off the post in! Brad Marchand!
A wilder game you will never see!
Rich Keefe.
Did they pack up Newhouse's bags and give him a one-way ticket back to Sutville?
Dale and Keefe, middays.
Cat House?
Oh, yeah, Cat House.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Who knew when we came to work today that at some point during the course of the next 4 hours we're going to be discussing cats?
I was hoping that we wouldn't, Dale.
Where's
but
Jason
here we
Rossi
are.
When we need him?
I know,
right?
it's his favorite day of the year.
He was our cat authority.
He might have been behind the whole thing last night.
Shooing him out of a crate somewhere down at MetLife Stadium. We'll get to all of that later on in the program. Willie McGinnis will join us at 11 o'clock today. We'll ask him if he thinks Lamar Jackson is the next big thing.
Like Collinsworth. Can't be like Collinsworth. There's no way. Did Collinsworth take a
love
cold
you,
shower after
you
that?
You find somebody to love as much as Chris Collinsworth loves Lamar Jackson.
Doesn't exist.
No,
kind of came out of nowhere, too, as you're watching the game. You're like, wait a minute, he really, really likes Lamar Jackson, but so be it.
He practically had him in the Hall of Fame.
He's like, you will remember this moment. He was like the guy from the Nationals call. Remember this day? So you'll remember this day that Lamar Jackson has taken over the league. Like, all right. Thank you.
So I didn't get to see the cat last night.
Dale, you missed it.
I did see it this morning.
Yeah.
I was working and... I got to say, and thank you. Forget about the outcome and all that stuff. That was as entertaining a night of sports as you could go sit and watch. And the crowd at the Garden was just buzzing all night last night.
They've been good. I feel like both for the Celtics and the Bruins, it's like they showed up this year ready to go. Like the home crowd is fired up. And not that they're bad or anything else, but it's almost like... It's two different things. Like the Bruins, you have a situation where they just lost game 7 of the cup. They're bringing back most of the same guys. All the top guys are back. And it's like the team is playing really well. They're shot out of a cannon and the fans are ready for it. Celtics, meanwhile, they know their team is different. Probably not as talented as they were a year ago.
But it's still a good thing.
Yeah, but yeah, right. But they're rallying around it and they're hoping that it's going to be really good. So it's been a good start to for both winter sports teams.
It's an amazing thing to watch when you have a performer for one of your athletic teams who's in one of those zones. Mm-hmm. You know, when we saw Mookie Betts win the MVP a couple of years ago, he was that guy that you just expected. Every time he came up, something was going to happen. Every single time that Bruins top line comes over the boards, you think something's going to happen.
Right.
And most of the time it does.
Yeah.
Well, like Andrew Raycroft was joking last night on Twitter, you know, a couple of minutes into the game, he said, I'm so disappointed that top line didn't score a goal in their first shift. I mean, what a disappointment.
Right. Yeah.
They're unbelievable how they're playing.
No, they have been amazing. And I think, you know, you were even maybe anticipating, well, if they have a little bit of a slow start, understandable, right? They start
like
the year
St.
on
Louis
the road.
Did.
Like, right, exactly. Like, they placed just so long into the season. And they're one of the teams, they were already good enough before the year began that even though the division is good and there's a lot of talent in the division, they're a playoff team, right? It's not one of these teams like, oh, they're going to have to. They don't want to dig themselves a hole because they're going to miss the playoffs. Like, no, you knew they were a playoff team. You didn't know where they were going to be seated going into the playoffs. But for them to have this kind of start and to put up the numbers that they are, I mean, 11-1-2.
That's all.
And they have one loss.
One regulation
one real
loss.
Real loss.
And it was their best 60-minute performance of the year. They lost in Denver to the Colorado Avalanche.
Really
good team.
Very good team. Yep.
They played great.
And it was the end of that road trip, too, right? Because they were about to sweep the road trip. They lost to Colorado, which there's no shame in. And who knows? You might face Colorado several months from now. I wouldn't rule that out completely. But, yeah, the start that they're on, the goaltending that they're getting, combined with the scoring and just the breakout season. You might have thought last year was kind of a breakout season for David Pastrnak. But this is next level stuff. And if he could stay healthy, because think about it, if he stayed healthy last year, what the numbers could have been.
He might have been a 50 goal.
He might have been. And so now, I mean, the pace now is just silly. What did he get? 14 goals now?
Leads the NHL with 14. It's kind of funny, and I tweeted this out early this morning when I got up. If you look at the NHL scoring leaders,
yeah,
number one and number two, not only are teammates, Pastrnak and Marchand, Pastrnak with 29, Marchand with 28, they play on the same line. And you think, okay, that's really weird. Then you look at three and four, Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl,
yeah,
and they're on the same line.
Yeah. What do you got to do is you got to assist on everybody's goal, and then you just you keep piling them up there. And that's what they've been doing. It's pretty insane to see, you know, the guys, you know, the Connor McDavids of the world, Alex Ovechkins, those guys that you're used to seeing at the top. And then, oh, there's Pastrnak and Marchand ahead of both of them. Now, Marchand's kind of done that. You know, Marchand was a 100-point guy.
He's
been able to do
one
it.
One of the top players in the league.
But to see right now where Pastrnak has a goal per game. Like, that's what we're dealing with right now. He has 14 goals
goal
in
pace.
14
yeah.
games.
And he didn't do anything in game one, by the way. He had no points in game one.
Yeah, right.
He and Marchand had no points in game one, and they've just rolled since then.
Well, and the power play has been just has been locked in all season long, too. I mean, that has almost been unfair.
The only thing missing for some people, and it's a judgment about the state of the game today is where it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one of those towns where old-time hockey still matters. The big bad Bruins still matter. There is a segment of hockey fandom that still wants an enforcer, a Sean Thornton, a somebody who will go out there and thump somebody. The whole league is away from that. The Bruins have had one fighting major this year, and that was Brett Ritchie.
Right.
They would have had more if the officials hadn't saved Evander Kane's life and kept him away from Zdeno
Chara. He wanted to fight Chara. Let him fight Chara.
He really didn't want to fight Chara.
No, probably not.
He totally did not want to. But those days, unfortunately, are gone for most folks.
Yeah.
It's a different league. And what it is now is fast and speed and unbelievable skill. And the Bruins fit with the best
teams
in the league.
And that's why last year it was odd, though, because, Dale, if the St. Louis Blues, can you win like that again, you think? Or was that sort of a one-off type of year? Because they are, not that they're dropping the gloves all the time, but as far as being a physical team, maybe a little bit more pointing in the direction of physical than they are in skill.
They were thumping the Bruins in the final.
They were just big. And you look at those guys, and they're more likely to beat you up than they are to skate around you and score. Like, is that a one-off? Because you're right, there are not a lot of teams like that. And for a while, the Bruins were kind of stuck in limbo. Like, even when they had Lucic, and then even when they moved on from Lucic, you're like, well, what are you? You got some guys that are kind of slow and tough, and then you got other guys that aren't. What are you? Now they've fully embraced the skill. They have they have the best line in hockey. But if they came up across a team like St. Louis, because I remember before that series started, I said, well, these guys, they won't be able to play with them. The Bruins are going to skate circles around them. And that wasn't the case at all.
I said it last year and kind of got mocked for it, and that's fine. I mean, it kind of goes with the territory.
Yeah.
My partner, Billy Jaffe, has been saying it this entire season so far. And we say this, you know, with full knowledge of what Alexander Ovechkin is. Brad Marchand is the best left wing in hockey. Better than Alexander Ovechkin.
Yeah. I think he is. I think even the last couple of years, he
well, that's
might've
what
been.
I've been saying.
Yeah, no, and I don't think it's crazy.
He is a true 200-foot player.
Right.
He's power play. He's penalty kill. You know, he's logging huge minutes on the first line. And, you know, scoring 100 points.
Right.
And in this case, this year, taking his game up even another notch.
No, I mean, I don't know how you can really argue with that, because if it was close, you know, goals and assists-wise, if it was really close, you could say, well, maybe give Marchand the tiebreaker because of all the things that you said.
Right.
Like, penalty kill, you're not going to see Ovechkin out there. That's not his skill. Like, I'm not even bashing him for it.
No,
it's
no,
just
no.
He's so good at the other stuff. But think about it. Even this year, just take into account what's going on right now, Ovechkin has played two more games than Marchand and has 9 less points. So not even factoring in all of the other stuff. And so I just think, yeah, Marchand has passed him by. I think if you're making the all NHL team right now, I think Marchand would be your left wing.
We mentioned this yesterday. Matt Porter wrote a piece in the Boston Globe yesterday, primarily about David Pastrnak and his appeal and how he's becoming a megastar. But as a side note, Porter pointed out that the ratings through the first 11 games of this year on Nesson are up 70% from where they were a year ago through the same portion.
I think it all starts with the pregame show.
I think that's probably
if
it.
You ask me.
It might have more to do with that top line. And
top
especially
line's been
Pasternak.
Good, yeah. Top line's been good.
And the 16 to 34 demographic, the young fan, the ratings are up 158%.
Wow.
This team is fun to watch. They're entertaining. Bruce Cassidy, Claude Julien was a great Bruins coach and won a Stanley Cup. I will never say anything bad about him. But Cassidy's style of play is so much more entertaining.
Much more fun to watch. Yeah, it is. It's just much more fun to watch. I mean, you go back to some of those teams with Claude, and you look at the roster, you say, oh, those are some really talented guys. And if they got to 29, 30 goals, you're like, what a season. Holy smoke. In fact, I think he only had a couple of 30-goal scorers in his whole tenure here. And that was with, you know, a young Sagan, a guy like Bergeron, who we know can do it. He had Marshall, and he had all these different guys. And you didn't really see those numbers. Now, you know, last year the whole top line was over 30 goals. This year, the way they're going, Pasternak should cruise past 40 goals. I mean, think about it.
He's going to have 20 by Thanksgiving the way he's going.
In the last 3 years, Pasternak, as a 20, 21, and 22-year-old, went 34, 35, and 38. And the only reason why the 38 wasn't significantly higher, he only played in 66 games. So this year, obviously the pace is going to cool off a little bit, but the fact that he already has 14 goals, I mean, that's right there. That is the difference to me. That's you're more likely to watch because you're feeling like these top lines, not only are they going to score goals, they're going to do some stuff that looks pretty cool while they do it, right?
Oh,
like Pasternak between the skates and all this other stuff. Like, that helps. And, oh, by the way, you're going to get more games where the team is scoring four goals or more than the 1-0. Like, yeah, I'm sure there's some young goalies out there that loved watching the 1-0, the 2-1s, and that's great. And you'll still get those over the course of an 82-game season, but more often than not, the Bruins are going to score, I mean, last night they scored six, but more often than not, they're going to score four more goals.
You mentioned the Celtics and the change in attitude, the change in how you perceive them, based primarily on the departure of one guy and the addition of another guy. And I know we talk about chemistry versus biology and all that stuff. I sometimes wonder if character actually is involved in how a team performs. The Bruins' character is they don't give up. They got their asses kicked in the second period last night.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it could have been 7-3. If not for Halak. Oh, they are Halak busted his rear end, and it could have been 7-3.
Right.
And they went in the locker room between periods, according to the players, and just said, wait a minute, this isn't what we're doing here.
Mm-hmm.
And you see them come out in the third, the unbelievable shot Torrey Krug had to tie things up, the Marchand game winner, and then ultimately the Bergeron empty netter. That's character to me, though.
Yeah. No, I think so. And we've heard about it a lot. You know, we had Charlie McAvoy on the show. We had Charlie Coyle on the show. And just those guys talking about how they play for each other. And again, you can hear that kind of stuff. You're like, oh, that's easy to say. Like, right? Like a lot of of course you play for your teammates, right? But some of the stories that we have since heard about after they lost the cup final and how they all kind of stood together, they stuck together and it was difficult and they kind of all
set
got through it together.
Set out for some beer and sat in the dressing room.
Yeah. I mean, it's the best way to cheer yourself up is just get a case
of
beer.
Works for you.
Yeah, it is. But they did that rather than just being like, all right, season's over. Let's get out of here. Let's all take off, go home, and I'll see you guys in 3 months. That really wasn't the case. And I think it also goes back to a lot of these guys on the team taking pay cuts, which seems insane. Like, if they really wanted to, you got five guys probably on this team that could have gotten every last dollar. Maybe two or three of them are still here, two or three of them are somewhere else, and they're making more money. But for whatever reason, and I mean, give Don Sweeney credit, give whoever you want to give credit, I guess if the players themselves, they said, you know what, we're going to stay here. We like the city. We like the playing together. We like the system. Whatever, all the stuff put together, they've liked and they have bought in. And then so now if you have some of these young guys coming up and that's who they're looking up to, it's going to be hard for them to do anything different.
There used to be what they used to call the Ray Bourque pay ceiling. On the Bruins, and nobody could make more than Ray Bourque. And I think it really made some other guys on the team angry.
Yeah.
Guys who could have had a legitimate case to make more because Bourque did not go for every dime when he was playing here and could have certainly demanded more.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's the same level of animosity among these players. I mean, the highest paid guy on the team is David Krejci.
Yeah.
Nobody would expect that.
No,
but
nobody would. Yeah, you have, you know, David Krejci maybe slightly overpaid. David Backes is overpaid. A lot of these other guys, though, are
Marchand,
Pasternak, Bergeron, top line. And then it will be interesting, you know, because McAvoy was a restricted free agent, so he didn't really have full control over that situation. And he got a bump in pay, but he only added a couple of years to his deal. that's going to be a telling one, because in a couple of years, I wonder where he's going to be as far as ranked across the league for defensemen, and there'd be a real opportunity for him to really, you know, cash in. And at that point, you got to imagine maybe Chara's gone, maybe Krejci's gone. Like, the team is going to look a little bit different, but they don't have to worry about that at least for another couple of years. The guys they have to take care of are Torrey Krug, who had a huge goal last night,
and the other contracts out there are going to make it real tough for him to take too big a haircut here.
Right, exactly. I mean, again, you can't blame these guys, but it would be against the norm for the Bruins. They just seem to want to stay here for as long as they can.
They've put together a fun team to watch more than anything else. They're fun, they're entertaining, and they're 11-1-2. And they play in Montreal against the Canadiens tonight, so it'll be a blast.
Nice back-to-back.
We've got some other things we're going to discuss throughout the course of the day. I was a bit surprised as I was working last night when I checked my Twitter feed out and found out that J.D. Martinez is not going anywhere.
I think we figured out Alex Cora's tweet.
That was the tweet from Cora.
Yeah, I think so. I think you nailed it.
I forget the term Lucy gave us.
Oh, yeah. It has its own phrase.
It was complicated.
Something about something bang, I think.
I don't remember. It was question, exclamation,
but he kind of tipped us off. So J.D. Martinez is back. Some people, though, Dale, are mad about it.
It's a good thing because based on what I'm reading, there are some who say, oh, no. But we'll talk about that when we come back as well. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. It's Dale and Keith.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.